Appreciate your presence this evening. I hope you have a copy of the outline. Very thankful for being back with the church here. It's been wonderful renewing acquaintances, meeting you people. I'm very thankful for the theme. Think about this. I was asked to speak on the subject of the way home and trying to reach out to those who may have fallen away or those who are struggling. What topics would you have picked? And it's interesting as you start thinking about it. And, of course, yesterday morning, when I talked about dealing with disappointment and doubt and how the question of bad experiences, disappointment, oftentimes cause people to make poor choices relating to the Lord. This evening, I want to talk about giving and receiving forgiveness. Sometimes it is the most basic questions that, for whatever reason, we don't quite get it. We don't quite understand it. And because of that, a train wreck follows. We need to understand some things about our God. We need to understand about how He forgives us. And brethren, we've got to learn how to forgive one another. Trust me, in the area of people being discouraged and falling away, this is a major element. As we talk about forgiveness, as I said already, it's not a small thing to be confused here. We need to major in this. We need to know this. This ought to be so much at our core. It's the foundation of our rejoicing, in our zeal, in our energy. My God has forgiven me. Look at what I have done, and look what my God has done, and look at the nature of my God. Isn't it great to be a Christian? And if somehow we lose that focus, we get into trouble. We take our eyes off God. We start looking at men and brethren and things that are being done. And, you know, when you talk about the forgiveness of God, how do you know God forgives? Well, you know of His nature, of His love. Paul talked in Ephesians 3 that it's critical. We have a foundation. Why are you here? Why are you living the life as a Christian? Where did it start? What are the things when everything is ripped from your life and you go back to something in your foundation and you say, I know this and I know this foundation is sure and I know it will never let me down. What is it? Better be love God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says that Christ here Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Do you know the love of God? God's love is given to you unconditionally. But forgiveness comes conditionally. But one thing about the love of God is my God wants to save me. My God wants to give me what is good. I need to know that and be certain of that and have no questions about that. That is the basis of my life. We keep reading. Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know how it happens with some, but somehow we get off track of that foundation. Now, love God, you know, that's the basis of which I repent. That's the basis of which I go through some difficult things, but this is the foundation. And it's interesting sometimes how we end up, I can say, get our minds messed up. We somehow let the foundation slip and we're starting looking at what brethren do or don't do or what happens in our life or maybe some emotional moment that we have and we get our minds messed up. Peter puts it this way. He says, he talks about how Christians ought to be growing, thriving, serving, giving, adding to their faith. Why do some people not do that? Why do some people perpetually weep? Why are some people in what I call the fellowship of the miserable? They're always mad about something. 2 Peter 1:9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You remember the day you became a Christian? Oh, let us never forget that. I still remember it. I remember the rejoicing. I must never ever forget that I've been forgiven. And so one of the reasons why people fall away is they get discouraged. They lose sight of these things. Like I say, they start seeing attitudes of brethren. I'll tell you one of the things we're going to be emphasizing this week is Some people do fall away because we do not have leadership in local churches to deal with problems and to work on the atmosphere and to work on our relationship to each other. And the reason why oftentimes we don't do that outside the realm of leadership, we come here self-centered. Now, when I realize I've been forgiven by God, God gave me a gift I don't deserve. And really, I just want everybody else to have that. And it changes my attitude toward how people act toward me. Look at 1 John 3, dealing with the Gnostic era. And the Gnostic era had various elements to it, but one of them was there was an arrogance. There was a looking down on others. There was a hatred of others. 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You read that verse often? You have forgiveness. You have love of God. And you love your brethren, right? Well, my brethren aren't lovable. Well, neither were you. The love of God is given to me unconditionally. And so here, I see my brother, regardless of the struggles he has, I'm not condoning sin here, but I am saying that I have an act of goodwill toward my brother as a God has toward me. Notice the next. Keep reading. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. It is critical as we try to reach the lost, and maybe this week as we're trying to reach out to those to come, maybe I don't know what success we'll have of that, but let me guarantee you that if we work on the atmosphere in every congregation we're at, and we have this kind of emphasis, when the visitors do come, they're going to say, wow, these people care about me. And there's something about that where people are out of themselves and they're thinking of others that sometimes will open hearts. But you know, brethren, and I know, brethren, I realize we go through different circumstances and situations, but you know, there are times, have you known a brethren won't talk to each other? Unfortunately, some will not stop talking about the other when the other's not there. You know, have you seen some of those situations where you've got a collection of animosity for various people for the wrongs they've done in the past? That's poison. And you cannot allow that to continue in a local congregation for long until it starts affecting people. And people become lost from that. Congregations teach something. Their leadership teaches something. And some congregations, I'm afraid, are almost living dead. Because no one is really taking a stand for the love of God and they're not dealing with their problems. Are we happy when someone returns to the Lord? You may say, well, of course everybody is. Not always the case. There's people who have these grudges and somebody returns to the Lord and they walk out the back door while others encourage them. I'm telling you, brethren, these are the kind of things that when we know the love of God, there's just so much junk we'll get out of our life. There's just so much trivia and holding grudges we can get out of our life. What a powerful tool we'll become in the hands of the Lord when we do that. Do we ever worry about whether God or others have forgiven us? Let's talk about that this evening. First off, let's go back to God. And it's important that we need to understand that the promises of God are true. Could I say if you live in the world and we've all one time been in the world. The world's a dog-eat-dog place. The world is a place that if you don't fight and you don't battle and you don't watch your back, you'll get eaten alive. And you know, as you see that in your life, you finally almost have figured out everybody's this way. I like how it's put in Titus 3:3. It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Many of you have to deal maybe with jobs in difficult circumstances. You know the backstabbing that goes on. You know you can't trust people. It's tough out there in the world, and that's the world. And we're not going to change the world in terms of how the world is. That's Satan's realm. Satan lives in the realm of throwaway people. And you use them and you throw them away. You get disappointed with somebody and you throw them away. Well, a lot of people come out of that background. They may have come out of those kind of families. And now they become a Christian, but they have to learn that Christians are different. Are they? We better be. And so again, there's some people, they struggle with the idea of somebody forgiving. You know, there's the old saying, I think is an interesting saying. It says, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. In other words, you know, I'm just always going to be looking around. I see somebody's going to stab me in the back. And so we start talking about the nature of God. And we start talking about forgiving. You know what forgiveness is? When you forgive another person, you take the loss. You write it off. It's not fair. And in the world, people go, yeah, somebody's going to take a loss for me. Sure, I see it when I believe it. But our God does. And Christians who trust God do the same thing. But to the world, forgiveness is just too good to be true. And so as we start talking about God, one of the things that's very important is that we serve a God who has emphatically repeated over and over and over and over and over again, I want to forgive and I will. It's fascinating in the giving of the Ten Commandments the second time around. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, it says, the Lord passed before him, that's Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord. And here's God saying, here is what I am like. And when God wants us to know what he's like, we need to listen, and we need to listen well, and we need to absolutely trust what God says. It says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins, by no means clearing the guilty. As we look at this verse here, God says, I am in the forgiving business. That's not a story that's too good to be true. It's absolutely true. And if we don't believe that, then we don't believe in God. And when we believe that, the struggle from there is for us to become like God. And brethren, this is some of the hardest things we ever deal with in Scripture, personally. Becoming like God. Can you trust God? That is obvious. You know you can trust God, but that's really the issue. Do we really believe God forgives? And again, we serve a world that's filled with lies and backstabbing and people you think you can trust, they let you down. And here's the idea, is forgiveness real? Well, everything depends on this. One of the reasons why studying the Old Testament is so powerful. The greatest lesson we can learn from the Old Testament, we learn about the nature of God. You know, I read Psalms 22 to you last night in the invitation. And in Psalms 22, Jesus talked about when you look at his struggles, when you would see he would look outwardly at all the persecution, then he would look inwardly. And one of the beautiful statements in Psalms 22, he says, you are enthroned in the praises of Israel. And the idea is Jesus knew my God over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. He answered prayer. He forgave. He could be trusted. And that's the thing we've got to know. The Bible says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and comfort grants you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Do you know God? Do you know God? Is forgiveness that which you major in? You may need to start over learning about what God is like. Let me tell you something, how great forgiveness is. Listen to this. This is good news. Let me tell you some things that God does when he forgives. First off, he blots out our sins. Wow. We've heard this before, but think about the guilt of your sin. Think about the things you've done. Think about the shame associated with that. And you know, oftentimes with people, you know, people don't, they don't forget. You know, we struggle with people, but God says this. This is just some verses. Acts 3:19, Peter said, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. That the times of the refreshing may come to the presence of the Lord. They are nuked. They're gone. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Great news. Isn't starting over a wonderful thing? Have you made a mess of things? How many times I've made a mess, and everything's falling together, grabbed my life in pieces. And you know the beautiful thing about serving my God? I can start over. You can start over. What a beautiful, wonderful thing. And I can absolutely trust my God who gives these promises. We've already read the statement that he'll not remember our sins. That's also quoted in Hebrews 8:12. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know the struggle with people, and we all struggle here. I'm not a computer. We talked a little bit about computers tonight. And I don't have a little delete button and it's gone, you know. And I struggle with that. But can you imagine God says, it's done. A lot of my brethren and others, they like kind of, well, I've got a collection of what this brother has done in the past. And I'll hold this in my back pocket just in case you get out of line. God doesn't do it that way. Wonderful, wonderful thoughts. And listen to some more verses. And I'm just dealing with a few. Go read your own verses. Go do some references on this. My God is in the forgiving business, and forgiveness is incredibly good news. In Micah 7 and verse 18, who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You know where one of our struggles is, seriously, in the building of our faith? Is believing what God says. God may forgive and forget sins, but sometimes we have a hard time receiving God's forgiveness. I like what one writer said. Let's see. Let's see if I've got it on the PowerPoint here. Yeah, here it is. One writer says this, when God buries our sins in the deepest sea, he posts a sign which reads, no fishing. Let it go. Don't go back pulling it back and wonder if God's forgiven you. But these are genuine struggles we have. And our success in believing this and receiving this will have so much to do with our assurance, with our spiritual energy, with our zeal, with our patience, with our brethren. And with our love for services like this. This all depends on whether or not we get this message. And another incredible account. We'll talk more about Luke 15 on Friday night on the lesson called The Way Home. But you know what's so unbelievable? And again, with people, we have a struggle with it. We really struggle with this, and I do too. But when my God forgives, he not only forgets the sin, he buries it, he nukes it, he puts it in the depths of the sea. He receives me back into full fellowship. And you know, somebody's hurt us, disappointed us. Sometimes we kind of, you know, want to put them through probation. Or we kind of put them, you know, in time. I struggle with this too. But here's what the parable of the prodigal son, or actually prodigal sons technically, there were two sons that had issues, but the one we're more familiar with, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and you remember the rest. Fatted calf, new robe, a new ring. And he's just rejoicing. Verse 24, for this is my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. My God, let the past go. Our challenge is to be like God. No grudge holding with God. With you and I, well, that's another matter. Now let's go further. If we could. Are we honest with God and ourselves when we say we've forgiven others? Oh, now we get into personal things. If we're dealing with God, I can handle that, you know, but we're dealing with people. And oh, folks, man, we're trouble, aren't we? I tell you, we deal with people. That's a hard thing. I tell young Christians, before they get out of the baptistry, you know, I tell them sometimes, I've already mentioned this already once in my lesson, I say, well, the people that's going to hurt you the most in life are going to be the people that you love the most. And that's going to include your brethren. Your brethren are going to disappoint you. But you see, it's interesting. Our problem here often comes where we really, really don't want to forgive. I'll say again, I mean, I'm not into the business of just taking the cost for other things. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong, and here I'm paying the cost. You know, we're in a world where we're just not even got a world. I don't want to be cheated. That's where we've got to keep God in view. There are many times Christians are deceitful here. We would make a Pharisee blush, I'm afraid. Is where the idea is, okay, the scripture says that I got to forgive, and so I forgive you. I said the words. As taken care of. I'll never forget one brother. Oh, he was dealing with so much anger. And later, by the way, we had a good ending to this. It took a few years. It's interesting how people have to work through things. I'll never forget trying to talk to a brother, getting to know him. He was angry at me at many, many things. And a lot of things didn't happen. And at one point, he looked at me and says, I will forgive you, but I don't have to like you. That's a common statement. I've heard that made a lot of places. What, could we examine the scriptures? All right, this is tough stuff, folks. I want to tell you, these are some of the hardest commands and things to do with the Bible. It's hard with somebody searching. Tell you what, my weakness, I'll tell you my Achilles heel, and I hope many of you try to test me on this. You can beat on my old, you know, head all day long. I think I can handle it, but you attack my wife or my children. That's my Achilles heel there. That is a bigger struggle for me. But listen to this. I'll forgive you, but don't have to like you, really? 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before Him. Let me tell you, you're playing some games here, and you haven't forgiven, and you haven't loved, and you're playing a little mask game, you will be lost. You don't play games with this. And that's where we get into so much trouble. We start being dishonest with ourselves. The lie we can tell us to ourselves. Okay, listen to this one. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Does that sound like I'll forgive you, but I don't have to like you? And I want to tell you, the pure heart there, that's where that kills us. When we decide we're not going to forgive, but we've got to forgive, so we say we forgive, and we start lying to ourselves and lying to God, we are setting ourselves up for a planted poison in our life, and it'll affect us. And you know who it'll affect more than anybody else? It'll affect your children. That's why we lose a lot of our children. It's because the parents haven't learned how to deal with basic heart issues. And you may try to bury it and hide it, but it comes out over time. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night. I'm kind of slipping into that lesson on how to lose your mind. That'll be tomorrow night. We'll develop that more fully. Listen to this one, 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy. Put that mask on. Ooh, I love you. Right. Yeah. Envy and all evil speaking. These are not difficult concepts. But can I tell you mercifully, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go of something that someone has done to you. But our alternative is to destroy our own souls. You know what we should have in common more than anything else is not that we have the same social economic level or pull for the same football team or, you know, have something else in common. We should have in common that we are a people who've been crushed by the guilt of our own sin And the forgiving love of God is our only bond. And when we have that, we're going to create an environment where we can help people heal. We can help people come back. But sometimes I'm afraid we've given some other messages than that. You know, today we're hearing people, we've got some really issues coming up amongst our young, where people are trying to reject the church broadly, and they say, we haven't understood the grace of God. Now, I'm talking tonight about understanding the grace of God. But can I tell you, there's some people talk about the grace of God, and they say, well, there's been bad attitudes of brethren, and they, in their own bitterness and pride, separate themselves. When you talk about the grace of God, I understand the grace of God. The grace of God is going to be hearing and loving. We'll examine what is right and wrong. I'm seeing what I almost see, almost a counterculture, maybe a reactionary apostasy. Maybe that's a better way of putting it, where they talk about the grace of God, but I see people angry. We need to learn how to forgive. Okay, here's a test. You already know down in Auburn, we have about 130 students with us right now. So we kind of got a pretty large congregation of students. And saying, now they're familiar with tests, so I'm giving you a test tonight. Not a written test. It's your own personal test. Have you forgiven? Okay, let's take the test, class. Number one, that person we've forgiven, do we get pleasure in their hurt? Sometimes I see this in the football stickers. I pull for so-and-so and any team that plays against this other team, And sometimes, we say we've forgiven, but here this person, something bad's happened to him. We go, oh, yeah, that's good. And I'm not sure you're forgiven if you get pleasure in their hurt. How about this one? Do we intentionally avoid being in their presence? Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? I forgive them, but I'm kind of watching to see when they go to the front of the building. I'm either going to go ahead of them, or I'm going to wait, or, I'll kind of be busy when they come by. Be honest. Number three, do we vividly remember what we've suffered? Oh, my brethren, we need to be careful about pity parties and being martyrs. Something happened years... I've had close relatives who dealt with depression. I'm going to talk about depression a little bit. It relates to some of these things. And literally, somebody in their 40s remembered vividly things that happened when they were 16 years old and still had grudges with people. When you forgive and you forget and you move on. Now, I'm not saying we're a computer. Now, I'm not saying we can totally forget. But when we just relish and re-experience the bad that's done to us, I'm not sure we have handled that correctly. Are we uncomfortable when they are praised? Woo, boy, it's interesting. Somebody's done a good job preaching. Good job, John, leading. And there's that person. Think about it. And finally, 5 and 6. Do we go out of the way to be helpful to that person? And are we willing to pray for the person? And so again, brethren, I'll tell you again, I struggle in this area, and you can struggle in this area. This is not easy. These are some of the most challenging things we will find in the Scriptures. I remember one time I was going to a congregation that I've kind of done this a few places now. I've kind of done this where I went to the congregation and said, I've got some problems. And I knew ahead of time. I remember one congregation I was going through, I said to them, I said, we better put Romans 12:21 on the wall. About, not repaying evil with evil, but evil with good. And buddy, I didn't have any idea what I was about to get into. I got in there and I was already giving one illustration about it. I can forgive you, but not like you. Dealt with a bunch of stuff. Thought I was going to get fired the first year I was there. But that congregation reversed, had a great atmosphere. It ended up one of the best works I'd ever been a part of. You can change a culture in a congregation. And you certainly can change your own life. But I'll tell you one more time, the people who don't do this curse their children and curse the people that are closest to them. And that's something, if I could jump up and down and stomp and tell you and get it through your head, if that helped get you through your head, I want you to get that through your head. Talk more about it tomorrow night. Now let's talk about the last section. And this is interesting. You may not have thought about this. But are you able to receive forgiveness from others? And that's something we don't often talk about, but that's a real struggle with many. And I've heard of people that, they obey the gospel, And then I remember years ago when I was at 77th Street, Sewell Hall received a question from a lady. She'd obeyed the gospel, but years before she obeyed the gospel, she had a committed fornication with a man that she eventually married. And she still was feeling guilt over that. And she was saying, should I be baptized again? And of course, Sewell just basically said, no, what you need to do is trust God's promises. She had a very difficult time receiving forgiveness. Maybe God hasn't forgiven me. Maybe I need to do something else. Well, you know what? That works with people too. Let me tell you again, you come out of this world, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. And it's not uncommon at all for people to take the past things you've done and to save them up, and they use those as weapons and they pursue you with it. And we're kind of thinking, nobody really forgives, do they? That's a major struggle in relationships, and if we don't learn how to deal with that, it'll destroy our relationships. Why some people fall away? I've known some families that didn't communicate very well. And matter of fact, characteristic of this family, you never told the person what you were hurt, that you were hurt, and you held grudges. And you always talked to somebody else than the one that's hurt, and well, those kind of people, you come from a family of grudge holders and gossipers. You almost think that's normal. Let it not be so in the church. One of the things that's so important is that when we receive forgiveness from God, can I go one more time? My God is serious about forgiveness. If I have the promise of God, and I have within my own conscience, knowing that I have met the conditions of that promise, I need to let it go. God has taken care of it. Listen to this, 1 John 2:1. But we can talk about 1 John 1 to talk about walking in the light, confessing our sins. He's faithful just to forgive our sins. But he goes on in 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Look at verse 1. Jesus is an advocate. This is what Jesus is doing today. When I meet the conditional promises of God, I confess my sins. Following repentance, God forgives my sins. But what you have is Jesus appearing before God on our behalf. Could you imagine having Jesus as your advocate, Jesus as your lawyer? It's kind of like the old Perry Mason series back in the 50s and 60s. You know, he never lost a case. Well, let me tell you something about our Jesus. He never loses a case. But can you imagine this? Not only do I confess my sin, but Jesus says, I got this one. And I'm going to work to the Father for you. Do you see how solid the promises of God are? But now let's talk about... Well, let's look at a couple of verses. Romans 8:31. Sometimes people come up with situations. Well, what if I do this and this circumstance comes up with? What about this circumstance? What if I misunderstand something? And people come up with all these hypotheticals. And one of the things I like to tell people is that listen to me one more time. My God is in the forgiving business and he wants to get that through our ears. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Read Romans 8. We're more than conquerors. And we go back to the conditional promises of God. Romans 8:15, here's what we do. We won't know whether or not we're forgiven. Know the conditional promises. Meet the conditional promises. Let what you read match up with within what is in your spirit or your conscience. What the Spirit of God has delivered in the promises. What our own spirit remembers. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Brethren, we need to have assurance. We need to have, it's not arrogance here to say I'm forgiven. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's talk about people. Brethren may be another thing. I remember years ago, I joke about this, and people always have a little fun with me on this. I remember years ago lending people money within the church. I stopped doing that. The reason why I stopped doing that is that I'd lend somebody money. And I tell them, look, if you can't pay it back, don't worry about it. You know what happened when somebody couldn't pay it back? All of a sudden, I wouldn't see them anymore. And next thing you know, they started getting angry at me. And they were suspicious. What they were thinking is, well, I can't pay him back. He's going to hate me, so I'm going to go ahead and hate him first. I'm not making this. It's fascinating. It's fascinating how the human psyche works. I've wronged this person, and now I know they're going to do all these things. And you know, it's tough receiving forgiveness. You know, brother so-and-so, I did something to him, and I regret that, and I apologize to him, but did he really forgive me? Ooh, that could be tough. And somebody could do you wrong, and you can forgive them, and you can try to tell them that you've forgiven them, and sometimes I see people, they start pulling back from you, they start becoming distant. In some cases, they just follow. Receiving forgiveness. By the way, the other thing I told people about money, I said, I'd rather give people money than lend it. And so I've had some interesting conversations at the door after that. Some people were excited about that potential. But I don't want to lose a relationship with a brother over money. But what about when somebody's done wrong to me and I gently, you know, say, hey, this was not right and I want to forgive them. But see, people struggle receiving forgiveness. You know, some of my brethren aren't that way. They don't forgive. But what I want to do is show the love of God. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, the Bible says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When my brother has told me that he has forgiven me, I am going to believe him. And you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up far more than God ever does and people ever do. And this is a challenge. You may be here and say, yeah, I've messed up here. And I don't think any of these brethren think I'm going to make it. Now, unfortunately, I hear some of my brethren say that when somebody responds, oh, I don't know if that's sincere. I don't think he's going to make it. Get that out of your vocabulary. But the reason why we lose some people is because they did genuinely repent and they came back, but there were doubts. Doubts about God forgiving and doubts about their brethren forgiving them. And you know what the Bible tells us to do in this situation? The Bible tells us not only do we need to tell them they're forgiven, but we need to do follow up. And we need to go the extra mile to make sure that you know you're forgiven and that you're received back into full fellowship. There's wisdom here, brethren. 2 Corinthians 2, that man that 1 Corinthians 5 that had his brother's wife and had been marked, he had repented. But notice the challenge that followed. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. I think you know about that, don't you? You've had a big blow up. Maybe you both did something wrong with one another. And you've made apologies. But if that's all you do and you don't say anything else about it or do anything else, you know there's that suspicion. You know what? I bet you they're still holding that grudge. Let's be wise, brethren. Let's be wise. Ultimately, what we want is the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We want to be like God. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now we talk about relationship with people here. Look at this. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I'm going to talk a whole lot more tomorrow night about some of these things. We're going to talk a lesson called How to Lose Your Mind. It's going to be examination of the works of the flesh and how psychologically those things affect us. But one more time, Ephesians 4:31. Here's my lesson. Receive forgiveness. Give forgiveness. Get the junk out of your life. Let's draw close to one another. And with that power and environment, I want to tell you something. There'll people come in these assemblies and they'll see the relationship that you have to one another. And they may want to open their heart to you and let you help them find a way home. Ephesians 1:31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. just as God in Christ forgave you. I am so glad to be a Christian. I am so glad that is the basis of which I serve God. And I know, tell you what, you don't have to, you know, I can look in the mirror of God's Word and I see my shortcomings. But it's the love of God that helps me take that stand. It's the love of God that helps me to try to help others to take that stand. And may we always be known as the people that reflect the character of God, and we love one another fervently because we deal with our problems. And when we deal with them, it's gone. Can we give you the invitation this evening to come back to the Lord? Can we give you the invitation for a forgiveness that you and I do not deserve? Our God gives us that invitation. If you've yet to become a Christian, we'd love to take you as one who has repented to God to be baptized upon the confession of your faith in Jesus. And Christian, let's each of us, let's be sure we're going to our God, confessing our sins, receiving the forgiveness that He freely gives. Can we assist you in any way? Would you come as we stand and sing?